Thank you. I just want to tell Tom that we just graduated one of your students from our master's program, Luther Carson. I don't know if you remember him or not, but you do an excellent job because he was a fantastic student. So, the other thing is that I grew up on a farm in western Ohio, not too far from Wilmington, and one of the reasons why I became a college professor was I wasn't smart enough to be a farmer, so I agree with what you said. Okay, change subjects here a little bit. I've been involved in distance learning for the last 10 years, various courses. First, I created a class called Vegetable Crops, which is about vegetables and the vegetable industry. And about 5 years ago, I created this class, Vegetable Seed Production. It's a distance learning class. We created Virginia Tech to reach people, traditional and non-traditional students, on and off campus. I also teach it through continuing education to students all over the world. I've had students in China, Thailand, and in Eastern European countries as well. So it's quite a diverse class that reaches a diverse audience of students. Now, the course was developed from a grant to Colorado State University as part of something, a collaborative program called the National Seed Science and Technology Distance Learning Program. So the theory about how this was supposed to work was, since very few universities have the faculty and the expertise to teach a full seed production curriculum, Colorado State contracted with different universities to produce classes for the curriculum, which would be shared among universities. So I was assigned to develop this vegetable seed production course. I originally got my degree in California. I had expertise in that. Virginia is not a big seed production state, at least for vegetable seed production. So that's how I ended up in this program. The course is a two-credit course. It can be taken by Virginia Tech students, as I mentioned before. You can also take it through the Office of Continuing Education, so it's, in a sense, open to the general public. Continuing education students receive a certificate upon completion of the course, and we charge $300 per credit hour, trying to make it as affordable as possible. The course is offered totally online with no resident requirement. Course modules are available through the Scholar course management website, which is what we use at Virginia Tech. It's similar to WebCT and Blackboard and other different course management systems. The modules include text, of course. Try to keep the text as small as possible because I learned a long time ago students don't like to read off computer screens. We have a lot of pictures, Adobe Presenter, what I call virtual field trips, where students can actually, through the virtual field trip or through the Adobe Presenter software, actually go to the field and experience something in a pretty realistic manner with me narrating what they're looking at. And the challenge of this class from the beginning was try to design meaningful hands-on experiments to reinforce learning objectives. So the class also has a component about seed technology, and that was the easiest part. When you think about all the complexities of vegetable seed production, it's really not feasible in a short period of time. Particularly, this class is usually offered in the spring. In a lot of northern areas, you're starting up in January and you're finishing late April to actually grow seeds or produce seeds. So I had to come up with some kind of, or I felt I needed to come up with some kind of meaningful hands-on experiment. I'll show you what I came up with. What I did is design a series of exercises that gives students at least some exposure to the materials that we talk about in class. Now, what I do is, in the beginning of the class, I ask the students why they took the class and give me their mailing address so I can send them these little packets right in the beginning of the class. They receive these vials containing either raw or treated seeds, commercial packets of vegetable seeds, a plastic bag for conducting germination experiments, and an envelope for doing the experiments. And of course, there's detailed instructions for conducting all six separate experiments that are basically mailed out in a simple Ziploc bag. And this is just a description of a couple of the experiments. Experiment one, we ask the students what treatment is applied to the seeds after these they've been examined. What was the coating material? What are the seeds that were treated? What was the treatment that was applied? And then we ask them to actually do a germination experiment using the bag and the special germination paper that we've provided. And then we ask them a series of reflective questions, trying to figure out what happened and how the seed treatment worked. a series of questions to make them think about what they've done. Another experiment, experiment four, is described here. We're doing another germination experiment by putting some tap water in a pouch and then planting the seeds and then observing germination over amount of a period of time. And this is the result of that experiment. If they do it correctly, they should get seed germination in the pouch, which they can observe. They can see the root development. And then there's a series of questions about, we ask them to take data on the rate of germination, calculate the germination percentage, identify what seeds they are, so there's a germination identification component, and just a whole series of questions. Even though it's a simple experiment, there's quite a few questions that one can come up with about what was done. And this is some of the questions, again, that are response to that. So this is six different individual experiments, and then, of course, we ask them to do a write-up at the end. And these are some of the, again, some of the questions that we ask them to go through and try to think about the answers, integrating information from the course and an actual hands-on experience so they can understand what they've done and see some applications to the things we've talked about in the class. And of course, they can keep the seeds, and if we do this right, they can plant them out in the outdoor area, which appeals to a lot of the kids because they hate to go through the experiment and just throw them away. So I do encourage them to plant them if they're in a situation where they can. Another thing we do is send a commercial seed packet and ask them to carefully study the packet for the information. We do this as a actual observation or application of the federal and state seed laws. So we go through and we ask them the questions, and then we say, was this package labeled in accordance with the state and federal seed laws, which requires them to go and actually read those laws in some detail and see. Also comment about the quality of the packaging and what it does to preserve seed quality. You know, how is it designed? What are some of the special features? What are the technologies that are built into the bag? And of course, the write-up is an important part of this because it gives them an opportunity to put their thoughts in a coherent series of paragraphs. Not only do they answer the questions, but they describe what they did. So it's a graded exercise. They do it at home, of course, and then they send it back electronically. I grade it, give them feedback, send it back to them. So not only do they just get a grade, they also see my observations and comments about what was done. I also place a section in the discussion board of the class where students can communicate with one another and ask each other questions, compare notes. If one student's having a problem, they're encouraged to ask other students so they don't always have to contact me. And a lot of them like that. It's better sometimes. You feel less self-conscious to ask a peer a question than to ask the instructor for the class. Here's some from the course evaluation, some student assessment of the class. Of course, we always like to see, you know, a lot of times professors think things work well in their classes, but the students don't feel the same way. But on the student assessment, we had a couple of questions designed specifically to ask about the take-home project or do-at-home project to see what the students felt about it. Most students, 76%, I think this was from last year's class, said it was very valuable. 22% it was valuable, only 2% said somewhat valuable, and none said it was not valuable at all. And this is a sample of about 24 students. And some other questions that we asked were the convenience of the exercise. You know, you don't want to put a burden on the students, and we try to design this so they can do it when they have free time. It's as flexible as possible. Obviously, when you're growing those little seedlings in a pouch, you kind of need to water them every day or every couple of days, depending on the environment. So there are some restrictions, but most students said it was convenient and it was compatible with their schedules. 13% said it was convenient. Some 5% said it was 5% said it was somewhat convenient, and nobody said it was not convenient. Again, from the same 24 students. some general comments that the students wrote in response to on the course evaluations in response to the exercise. The do-at-home germination experiments were fun, and I learned a lot about seeds. I really like having a hands-on component to the class. It is okay to look at videos and pictures on the web, but having a project to do at home was a wonderful addition to this class. So like I said, I'm pretty happy with how this has turned out, and I think it's a good addition to the class. It seems to translate well. You know, we've had students from really all over the world do this. Because we're sending dry seeds, we don't have any problems with, you know, sending to foreign countries. At least we haven't so far. The only thing is, again, it's a seed production course. Seed technology is one aspect of it. I wish I could come up with something in addition to the videos that would you know, be involved more with seed production, but that's kind of a challenge. But for now, I'm pretty happy with the way this has turned out, and I guess it's an example of what you can do if you want to put the time and effort to mail out course packets to students in distance learning classes. Any questions? Yes.
I'm just curious, what species was the crusher cotyledon, the smell of the species?
That was arugula, because it gives a aroma that, and I try to send them things that they can eat, you know, because you never know what students are going to do. That we use untreated seeds, and we use something they can eat and something that hopefully will plant in their garden. So arugula is something that's interesting. A lot of them haven't seen it before. It's Brassicaceae, of course, and it's cold tolerant, so if you want to put it out before the frost-free date, it'll still grow fine in your garden. Any other questions?
I have time for more questions.
Probably went through that a little faster than I needed to. But
if you have questions for the other presenters, now would be a good time as well.
Adobe Presenter is it used to have a different name, and I'm struggling to think of what that is, but Adobe Presenter is basically takes slides and video clips and takes a PowerPoint-like presentation and allows you to narrate it with closed captioning on the bottom. So it does require the use of Adobe Presenter software, but it's pretty nice, and it's easy to go in and change. You know, I started out doing video clips where I had a professional videographer's photograph me in the field and then narrate that back in the lab. But that was a problem because if you wanted to change something or add an element or take away an element or a piece of information change, you had to go back and redo the whole video. Adobe Presenter gives you the flexibility to manipulate individual slides and pieces, add or subtract to that with a lot more ease. And when I began these distance learning projects in the late 1990s, the university was willing to help me, but as time goes on, one of the biggest burdens for me is learning that I have to do everything myself. I have no TA, I have very little computer assistance, so whatever is easiest for me to update, that's what I like, and Adobe Presenter makes it easy for me to update and change the content without going to some computer specialist, which I had to do in some of the earlier versions of the class materials.
And how do the students access that presentation that's on the website?
It's just a link, and I use a special symbol for Adobe Presenter links. On the very front page, actually I think it's on almost every page, every module page, there's a link to go and download Adobe Presenter. You can get Adobe Presenter free from Adobe because it's one of those, you know, reader softwares. But if they don't have it, it's in the syllabus that they need that for the course, and they can download it and onto their computer. 10 years ago, we had a lot of problems with students having computer proficiency to do that kind of stuff, but anymore, most of the students know more about computers and software than I do. So it's really kind of fun to see the learning curve of the students with that, but that's how we do it. It's just all linked onto the computer, and it's all managed through the Scholar software at Virginia Tech.
On the home experiments, do you have the students share their observations?
That's why we have the link in the discussion forum so they can do that, and I encourage them to do that. And there's some open-ended questions in the write-up that encourage them just to talk about what they observe. They can post questions during the course of the experiment on the discussion forum, and I can answer them, or other students in the class can answer them. Ozzy, you just missed my presentation. I guess you know all about it, so there's no reason for you to come. So, one of my beloved colleagues who I co-teach a class with. So. That's okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you.